Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a preseason game on Saturday against the St. Louis Rams. We're starting a brand new series today. We are featuring the writers at PocketDoppler.com as some of our interview guests here at Railbird Central. We're kicking off the series this morning with Jay Hodgson of PocketDoppler.com. Jay's on the line. How you doing this morning, Jay?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. We're glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about your background, Jay, how you got involved with Pocket Doppler and maybe, you know, where you grew up, how you became a Packers fan, all those things.
Sure. I grew up in De Pere, which is just a few minutes from Green Bay, so I'm a lifelong Packers fan, and I kind of followed in my sister's footsteps. We both worked the Packer training camp at St. Norbert College for our high school jobs. So that kind of made my connection with the Packers. And so I've been a lifelong fan, and also my sister got me started on PocketDoppler.com as well. So I'm really happy to be writing and kind of sharing some of my thoughts.
Well, you're doing a great job so far. But I do have to start today with a little bit of Donald Driver talk, because that seems to be the topic du jour and what's keeping social media going in the Packers universe, I think. Jay, I'm just going to read a quote here from Donald Driver yesterday. Then I'm going to ask you about it. But this is what Donald Driver had to say about the whole Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings situation on Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN yesterday in ESPN Radio. He said, quote, "We've always had that the quarterback is one of the one that needs to take the pressure off everyone else. If a guy runs the wrong route, it's easy for the quarterback to say, 'Hey, I told him to run that route,' than for the guy to be like, 'Well, I ran the wrong route.' Sometimes you ask Aaron to take the pressure off the guy so we won't look bad, but he didn't want to do that. He felt like if you did something bad, you do it. But I think that's the difference. You want that leadership, and I think sometimes you may not feel like you got it. You have to earn that respect at the end of the day, and I think that's what Greg was probably referring to." End quote. Jay, what do you make of this whole quote here from Donald Driver kind of continuing the criticism of Aaron Rodgers? And we saw Donald Driver kind of try to backtrack on Twitter yesterday. Did he mean what he said?
Well, you know, Brian, that's a real head-scratcher. And from what we've known about Donald over the years, is he's always been a real classy guy, a great team ambassador for the Packers. So those comments shocked me when I first heard of them. And maybe it's just a simple case of he tried to be a neutral party between Greg Jennings and Aaron Rodgers. And maybe he didn't give a lot of thought to the words he was saying and didn't mean for them to come across that way. And we're all guilty of using a poor choice of words or not thinking things through. The only difference between me and Donald Driver is I don't have 10 million people listening to me when I make those foolish comments.
It certainly is weird. You know, do you think that he did mean them, though? In that, I mean, is there, you know, they say where there's smoke, there's fire. Do you think the teammates actually feel about Aaron Rodgers this way, despite his high level of play?
Well, over the years, from what I've read about Aaron Rodgers, is he's always had that chip on his shoulder. He has this great drive to be the best. He wants to win, and nothing's going to stop him. So I think he balances that line of being a leader versus accountability. So if you're the reason why he's not going to the Super Bowl, he's not going to take the knife. He's not going to sit on the knife himself. He's going to kind of pass on that blame to kind of elevate your game. So maybe there's some truth to that, where Aaron's not going to be a martyr and say, "That was my bad." He's going to pass the blame on. And honestly, that's what I want in a leader. And if that gets some of the receivers a little upset, well, I think that is kind of more their problem and not Aaron's problem, because Mike McCarthy backed that up yesterday and said that that's what I want in a leader, and Aaron is right where he needs to be as far as our team leader.
I'm there with you. I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't take the blame, but I don't think he necessarily passes it and calls guys out. So, it is what it is, and we kind of wait as the world turns here, the Packers soap opera that continues. But we'll continue to talk about other Packers topics here on Railbird Central. We're talking to Jay Hodgson of PocketDoppler.com. Pardon me, Jay. Mike Neal has kind of made a lot of headlines lately in that he's kind of practicing at outside linebacker in addition to his role on the defensive line. How do you think he's going to be used this upcoming season?
That's a pretty intriguing story, this camp that I've been following pretty closely. And what I think they're trying to do is develop him into what a lot of 3-4 teams call the jack linebacker. Some notable jacks in the past were Willie McGinnis, the New England, and Charles Haley for the 49ers. And some current jacks are DeMarcus Ware and Terrell Suggs. And that the jack position is designed to have a hybrid player play on the line of scrimmage. He can get in a two-point stance or three-point stance, and he can rush the pass, or he can seal the edge for run. He can drop into pass coverage. And it's kind of a position that's designed to give a little more speed on the edge than a typical defensive end would give, and a little more size than an outside linebacker would give.
Do you think that's kind of what Nick Perry's role might be, though? I mean, because even though he's maybe not as quite as big as Mike Neal, Nick Perry's big for an outside linebacker himself.
Yeah, and that's what I thought they were doing last year when they drafted him, honestly. But this year, Nick Perry cut some weight. He's down about 15 or 10 pounds to be a little more speedy on the edge. So perhaps he's a jack, too. So it's possible, but I think they're trying to mold Mike Neal into kind of playing the edge so they can free up Clay Matthews to kind of run sideline to sideline against real athletic quarterbacks.
Elsewhere, another intriguing position on the Packers roster is running back, where I think this week you saw some guys come back to practice. Eddie Lacy coming back from a hamstring injury. Dewan Harris coming back from an early season knee injury. Dewan Harris has been ruled out, but Eddie Lacy is going to play. But I guess the more important question is, what do you, Jay, think the rotation will be like at running back? Maybe not during the preseason here, but during the regular season.
Well, I think Eddie Lacy is eventually going to establish himself as the starter. He'll be on the field for first down, second down, and some select third downs. If Jonathan Franklin can develop some level of comfort running between the tackles, I think he'll become the third down back. But kind of the camp battle that I'm watching are some of those bubble running backs like James Starks and Alex Green, because I don't think they're going to keep both of them. I think one of them eventually will be traded or just outright released, because it's a crowded stable and someone unfortunately is going to have to go.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that seems to be a bubble roster spot as it is. Is there a possibility they let both of them go?
It's possible. If James Starks can stay healthy, he's really good. He's very athletic. He's strong. He's shown some flashes of greatness, but he's just so injury prone. So if he can stay healthy, they might roll the dice and keep him. Now, what kind of scares me is Alex Green's surgically repaired knee. Apparently, it's been flaring up every now and then in camp, and this is now about a year and a half removed from his surgery, so those symptoms should be gone by now. So if he can stay healthy, he's worth keeping, but if he's going to have some issues, they may have to try to get rid of him somehow.
Something to watch, I think, on Saturday night is the backup quarterback situation in Green Bay. You've got Vince Young and Graham Harrell, who appear to be duking it out for the number two backup job in Green Bay. I'm not sure B.J. Coleman's kind of in the running anymore, but what do you plan to see from the backup quarterback position? Who's going to win this gig?
Well, right now, this stage of training camp, Vince Young has a long ways to go. But I think he wins the backup position just by default, because right now Graham Harrell hasn't instilled a lot of confidence in us. We know Mike McCarthy has favorites and kind of pet projects, and I think he wants Graham Harrell to eventually win the backup position, but at the end of the day, they're going to need a viable backup quarterback if there's some tragedy happens or Aaron Rodgers has to come off the field. And Vince Young is just an athletic freak, and I think he eventually wins the backup position by default.
That is interesting. We'll see how that all plays out. Jay, we're talking to Jay Hodgson of PocketDoppler.com here at Railbird Central this morning. We kind of had a little personal conversation on Twitter, I think it was yesterday morning, about some comments General Manager Ted Thompson made that I thought were pretty interesting, saying when he goes to the NFL draft, he looks at players from, you know, he looks at their height, their weight, and then he said something I thought was a little interesting. He said, we look at bone density, and I thought, wow, but you really look at that? I didn't even know they tested for that. They must do that at the NFL Combine, but you had a reason why Ted Thompson may be looking at bone density in potential NFL players. Why is that?
Well, bone density in general is an indicator of overall health and how quickly a player can heal from injury. And at my first reaction was that may have been maybe a backhand comment towards Tremont Williams or Derek Sherrod because they have some bone injuries right now. But then really thinking about it, I thought it may have been something to do with how they screen for performance-enhancing drugs. Because the reality of it right now is PEDs are in the game, and most of those designer drugs are undetectable. So they need to have some other way to kind of screen for some red flags. And your typical anabolic steroids and your human growth hormones, they actually increase bone density. So if a player is off the charts with bone density that doesn't seem right, that could potentially be a red flag for steroid use. But then on the flip side of the coin, some of the other performance-enhancing drugs like your painkillers and your anti-inflammatories and your other types of steroids, they can actually reduce bone density. So if a player has lower than expected bone density, that could also be a red flag for performance-enhancing drugs.
Well, this almost seems like a little bit of a catch-22 to me. The things that are legal make you more prone to breaking bones, and the things that are illegal seem to make stronger bones. Does that just seems incongruous to me. I mean, what does the NFL have to do here? Are they unfairly making things like these steroids, illegal per se?
That's a great question, and I honestly don't have the answer. Steroids and human growth hormone do have some short-term gains as far as muscle growth, bone growth, but their long-term effects on the human body are just too dangerous to be worth it. So I think they make them illegal in the game as far as a health standpoint. But that's a good question, and I honestly don't know how to address that. I don't know what the long-term solution is. Testing right now is not 100% efficient. A lot of drugs get through the cracks.
Speaking of, you know, injuries in general, the Packers kind of dealing with some early in the season here. Dayton Jones is going to miss Saturday night's game. So are the cornerbacks, Tremont Williams, Casey Hayward. At the wide receiver position, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, those guys are out. Are these things to worry about, or should we just say, hey, they're going to be back in the regular season and everything's going to be hunky-dory when that time comes?
I'm not so worried about a few of the players, but other players I do have some concerns. Dayton Jones will be fine. He showed in camp he's a number one pick. He's going to be real good for the Packers. Tremont Williams, he knows his assignments. I think he'll be fine. Now, the player I'm most concerned with is Casey Hayward, because last year he showed that he could be truly special. He barely scratched the surface of what he can bring to the table. But any NFL coach will tell you the greatest gains a player has in their development is between their first and second year. And he's missed all of training camps so far. So Casey will be behind the learning curve, so he's missing some of that important growth right now. And I'm also a little concerned about Jordy Nelson, not from a schematic standpoint, because he knows the offense inside and out, but he's not practicing right now. So he's not running, he's not conditioning, he's not getting his timing down with Aaron Rodgers. So he might be a little rusty for the first couple of weeks of the regular season.
Well, Jay, I hope things get better for the injury situation on the Packers. They do have a little bit of time on their side, so maybe in a couple weeks it'll be better. But we thank you for coming on the show this morning. We appreciate it, and keep up the good work at Pocket Doppler.
All right, thanks, Brian. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Jay Hodgson of PocketDoppler.com joining us on the show this morning. Glad to be having him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well as we continue a series, or I should say we start a series featuring the writers at PocketDoppler.com. Going to have them over the course of the next couple weeks or so joining us as interview guests on the show. I'm always glad to have somebody to talk football with. Rather, so you don't just have to listen to me all the time on this show. But glad to be having a guest joining us. But we'll continue the conversation nonetheless here as the Packers do get ready for a Saturday night preseason game tomorrow. No training camp practice today. Don't head to Green Bay. Think you're going to see him take the field. Today's just kind of a rest day as they day before a game. They're moving out of the dorms at St. Norbert today. I believe last night was the last night there. They slept there, and then today moving out and actually traveling to St. Louis today. Today's their travel day. Be boarding a plane, heading for St. Louis in preparation for the game on Saturday night. So we are a day away. If I were to look at two things for this game, the two things I'm most interested in seeing is A, I'll give you one on each side of the football here. A, the offensive side of the football. I'm interested in seeing the backup quarterbacks play. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to see a little bit more playing time. The second preseason game, the first game there, he played one series. Tomorrow night, you'll see him play at least two series, probably around a quarter of football, something like that, just ramping up his workload a little bit. But then, he's going to, pave the way for the backups. And that'll be, I think, primarily Graham Harrell and Vince Young. And I'm not sure how long you'll see each of these guys play, but, I would think they're going to about play 50-50. I would think Graham Harrell and Vince Young would each get about an equal amount of playing time. It's really hard to say how this is going to play out. I still give the edge to Graham Harrell just because he knows the offense. He's been there, and while he doesn't, exactly inspire a whole lot of confidence, I don't think he can be a starter in the NFL. Maybe if he can just, be solid enough just to, get the job done, be a game manager. But he's got to be a game manager, though. He hasn't really shown that yet. You saw in that first preseason game, he goes and throws the interception. He goes and has the fumble. That's not a game manager when you're having turnovers like that. And I don't blame the fumble entirely on Graham Harrell. But I'll tell you what, Aaron Rodgers probably doesn't fumble, even if he does get sacked. That's a little bit of a difference there between, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and a backup. So, Graham Harrell, he's got to show improvement. He's got to show he can chuck the ball down the field. He has to. I mean, Graham Harrell, all he's done as a Packer is dink and dunk. And Mike McCarthy did acknowledge that, I remember, in his post-game press conference, saying that he does have to put Graham Harrell in opportunities to throw the ball downfield some. So I am excited to see that. I mean, hopefully they will present him with opportunities where Graham Harrell is forced to throw the ball down the field a little bit. He's got to be able to do that if he's going to win a job in Green Bay. Now, Vince Young, I can't deny the obvious physical attributes he has. He's a physical specimen. He's got more of a cannon than Graham Harrell. He's obviously has more running ability than Graham Harrell, but he is a little bit scatterbrained. I'm not sure maybe he makes as good of decisions, both on the field and off, as Graham Harrell. So that's definitely, the downside to Vince Young. But it, you know, does the physical attributes overcome that? It, you know, even if he's not a great thrower, you can at least scramble once in a while for a first down, and I think the Packers would like to see that. So, I mean, you do have to throw the football, though. You do have to be consistent in throwing the football, and you have to avoid turning the ball over when you do throw it. And that's kind of been, you know, a little bit of Vince Young's weak spot there, is turning the ball over, throwing too many interceptions. You know, he's been prone to do it in training camp so far. He's got to cut back on that, and you know, maybe the better he learns the Packers offense, maybe, you know, that will happen. It certainly works in his favor that he's working with very good quarterback developing coaches like Mike McCarthy, like Tom Clements, like Ben McAdoo. So, I mean, it helps him to be working with those guys who are going to help him out in his development and become the best quarterback he can possibly be. I just said on Twitter this morning, no matter who the Packers quarterback is, whether it's Graham Harrell or Vince Young this season, it's almost hard to see either of them be the Packers backup in 2014. I think the Packers are setting themselves up where they got to take a quarterback in the draft next year rather high. Not first round high, but I mean, at some point they got to find another quarterback that's going to be, they can rely on for a few years at least, because the time is coming that they really need to find a guy. I mean, what wouldn't you give for a Doug Peterson right now? My goodness. Remember Doug Peterson backing up Brett Favre for the, you know, he must have been the longest tenured Packers backup quarterback. You knew he was never going to threaten for a starting job, but he was just always a solid backup who could get the job done. I mean, you would fear if you had to go with Doug Peterson for a long time. But, man, he just knew he could do the backup job, just come in there for a game if need be and do it. So, you know, it's I would certainly like that. But anyway, on the defensive side of the football, what I'm looking for this Saturday night, point B, as I referred to point A several minutes ago, point B now, want to see improvement from the Packers secondary that got torched in the preseason opener against the Cardinals. They got torched and didn't look good. And it's time for them to take a step up. Now, we can sit here and point fingers directly to Devon House, who may have had the worst night of anybody in the Packers secondary. And no doubt about it, he looked bad, giving up passes of, you know, I think they were like 34 yards and 36 yards and another pass completion on top of that, and looked bad trying to tackle Larry Fitzgerald. All those things, you know, not looking good for Devon House. He's actually been replaced in the Packers starting lineup by rookie Micah Hyde. And I don't know how much to put stock into that. It sure seems like, doesn't it, that cornerbacks coach, is it Joe Witt? Yeah, Joe Witt. He is not afraid to pull guys after a bad performance and switch starters, things like that. You remember seeing happen last year during training camp. Remember Jarrett Bush actually started out as the starter, and then they went to Sam Shields and Devon House, or they went to Devon House, and I think he ended up getting hurt, and then went to Sam Shields, and there were just kind of musical cornerbacks there last year. And Casey Hayward eventually got his chance as well when he started to prove himself. And you kind of almost see the same thing happen now. And certainly the starters, you know, Tremont Williams and Casey Hayward, I mean injuries have opened the door there for the guys behind them. But you see Devon House starting with the starters the first preseason game. Now it looks like Micah Hyde's going to get his shot. But it is the preseason. Even if Micah Hyde starts, you know, Devon House is going to get plenty of playing time this second preseason game. And it's going to be big for him to bounce back. It'll be big for Micah Hyde to show more consistency. I think you got to love what you see from Micah Hyde as far as his instincts and his physicality. not afraid to hit anyone. He'll tackle anything based upon what I saw, and I love that. It shows you almost a little bit of Charles Woodson, you know, in terms of, you know, hitting anything that moves, and that's great. But, you know, Micah Hyde also kind of gave up that fade in the end zone, that touchdown, and that was a tough pass to defend, but he was trailing in coverage the whole time. You know, he got a step behind from the get-go, and that didn't help him in trying to defend that pass. So, you know, he's a work in progress as a cover cornerback. So got to see improvement there. And you know, that first preseason game, almost everybody was at fault at one time or another. You know, those young cornerbacks on the team got beat from time to time. James Nixon, Lois Means, Brandon Smith, all looking exposed at one time or another. Thankfully, for most of them, it might have only been one play as opposed to multiple plays for Devon House. But you add them all up, and it was a poor showing. You know, I remember Jerron McMillan, although he came out early in the game, Jerron McMillan got beat on a deep route. I forget who he was covering, and the ball was just simply overthrown to the Cardinals wide receiver. But if it hadn't been overthrown, Jerron McMillan would have gotten beat. And you know, that was another sore point right there. So everybody in the Packers secondary got to take a step up and start proving themselves, because if these injuries linger, like we just talked with Jay Hodgson, you know, especially the Casey Hayward injury, dealing with that hamstring issue right now, you know, the Packers could really use a healthy Casey Hayward, but they don't have it right now. So they're going to have to rely on Devon House for the time being, on Micah Hyde for the time being, even on Jarrett Bush. You know, actually, the guy who played the best maybe in the secondary in that first game was Jarrett Bush. He's a veteran who knows what he's doing. I don't think Jarrett Bush is going to push for much regular season playing time except for maybe a goal line package or short yardage package like he's been. But he is going to be a backup and a special teams demon. So I think Jarrett Bush has a roster spot locked up. I don't know about beyond 2013 if there's a future for Jarrett Bush in Green Bay beyond then. But for the time being, I do think he has a job locked up. But it's 9 o'clock here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, folks. I appreciate you joining us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. We podcast the show later. Thank you to those who download our podcast, stream it live on cheeseheadtv.com. All those ways of listening to the show, we definitely do appreciate it. Enjoy the game Saturday night. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your Packers news needs. We will you know, have post-game coverage, all that kind of stuff, and we'll be back on Monday morning here at Railbird Central. But on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song by Keller Williams, which appropriate, by the way, folks, if you live near Madison, Wisconsin, I'm going to a Keller Williams concert tonight. It's free. It's on King Street in Madison. It's an outdoor venue. It's really cool. It's a free show, and I think Keller Williams is a great musician. So this song is called Freaker by The Speaker. And it's by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. But we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. Don't